And we'll jump right on into God's Word. So, as you see behind me, I plan on starting a series today. It's about a three-week series. Speaking on the powers of darkness. You know, starting by setting up what it is and then seeing its power and seeing the power over it. When I spoke on this as a youth pastor many years ago, not exactly this message, but in teaching this subject to teens, I took some slack from some parents and grandparents for two different reasons. First off, some wanted to just simply say, oh, it's just entertainment, it's no big deal. But no big deal is exactly how the devil wants you to feel about these things. Because he will take over one crumb at a time. He'll drop one little crumb and let you follow his trail. Because what? You give to Satan an inch and he'll take how much? A mile. But they also gave me slack because they knew that this is a direct attack on Satan himself. And Satan does not like this and often will attack because of this. He doesn't want you to know who he truly is. Because Scripture tells us that he disguises himself as an angel of light. He does not want you to understand what happens to you if you follow him, obey him, or play with him. Because his desire for you is destruction and death. And that's why he'll attract you just a little bit at a time until you're numb and you're trapped in his ways. You know, if you're a believer, a child of God, if you're part of the army of God, you are consistently at war. Are you with me? As a believer, you are consistently at war. There's a battle of our flesh over our spirit. There's a battle of the powers of darkness that wrestle against us. And while you're at war, it's foolish to put down your guard, to take off your gear, to give up your gun, you with me, or to go play with the enemy. That'd be foolish. Too often, that's exactly what we do in our spiritual war. Or sometimes, without meaning to, we allow our children to do it. And today I hope to share at the end some practical ways to protect our homes. So we're going to start out in Ephesians chapter 6, if you open there. Later we'll go to Deuteronomy 18 and then Acts 19. But Ephesians is a beautiful book, inspired by God, written by the Apostle Paul. Many encouraging instructions to the believer are found in this book. First off, it teaches us about Christ and about his peace, that he is the cornerstone of our faith. This book teaches us about the privilege of having the revealed mysteries, that in the New Testament we have things that the saints in the Old Testament did not. We have understanding and revelation that they did not. Our walk as believers, we should be unified and in love for with one another. And this book also teaches us about marriage and raising kids. But then we get to chapter 6, which is the closing chapter. And he ends the letter giving instruction and warning. And if you'll look with me in chapter 6, Ephesians 6, go down to verse 10. And a warning that he gives, he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us, for being right here with us, for allowing us to approach your throne because of your son, Jesus. Lord, today as we open up your word, I ask that you administer to our hearts, that you would challenge us, bring conviction in those areas that need convicting. Lord, comfort to where we need comfort. But I ask that you would give us the words, that you'd speak through me today, that each one of us would be on guard on where the devil's trying to creep into our homes. But I ask that you have your way, and that the name of your Son of Jesus would be edified. In your name I pray. Amen. As we look at this passage, it's not a hidden passage. It's very popular. I'm sure you've heard it before. And usually we're studying the armor of God. Now, that's not what we're going to do right now. We will eventually break down the armor of God. But what he's telling you is you want God's protection? Put on his armor. Go back and read the rest of this. You want God to protect you? Put on his armor. You want God's power? Put on his armor. You want to be saved from the enemy? Put on God's armor. But sometimes we fail to put on the armor. And we stop and play with the enemy. Because we often underestimate the enemy. The enemy today has been made out so for so many years to be this cute little guy with a pitchfork and a couple horns. I don't know about you, but that dude don't scare me at all. We laugh at those cartoons, don't we? There was a purpose to that. It numbed us down to who our enemy really is. It numbed us down to the power of the devil. We start to underestimate him. And we often live as if we don't know who he is, or as if he's nothing but a wimp. But our enemy is powerful. If you'll notice the verses that we read in verse 12, the primary verse we're going to look at, the first thing I want to look at is the enemy. And verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Notice Paul says we don't wrestle or fight or war against the flesh and blood. You with me? Our fight is not against man. You and I are not enemies. The devil's good at making us think so. You and I should not be trying to hurt each other. There's no one out there that we should consider as our enemy. They are the ones we're trying to reach. Our desire should be to love man, woman, and child, to introduce them to Jesus Christ, and to be able to treat them and call them brother and sister eventually. Amen? That should be every man and woman and child we run into. That should be every person in this auditorium. You look across this room to someone that the person on the other side of the room that's making you sit over where you're sitting. You look over there and you remember they ain't your enemy. You should love them like a brother and sister. And if they're not a believer, you should be the one trying to affect them to where they come to knowledge of Christ. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't fight against flesh and blood. That is not our enemy. Paul's very clear who our enemy is. Look at the end of verse 11. 11C to be specific. The third part of the verse. Don't fall for the wiles of the, catch that? That's our enemy. There's the problem, not man. The devil does not come at you with horns on his head and a pitchfork in his hand. The devil has wiles, that is tricks. He has schemes. He has ways to come about and cause issues, cause division, cause arguments, cause fights, cause doubts. The devil's good at what he does. He's better than any scammer that's called you by your Social Security. He's better than any scammer that's called you because your car needs an extended warranty. He can trick you into believing stuff that just ain't true. That's why he's called the great deceiver. Here's what we as believers are fighting against in verse 12. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness. And it says, where are those things? In high places, in powerful places. They're our enemy and they're powerful. Satan has a whole large crew out to accomplish his goal. You know, people hear this type of message and think it's laughable that we would believe in a devil and demons. But there's a dark world affecting this world. And as a believer that believes in the Word of God, all we got to do is pay attention. And we see the darkness working all around us. The depression, the sin that is accepted and made into law. Satan has a kingdom of darkness. He has demons who carry out different ranks and purposes for his accomplishment, for his purpose. He has empowered witches, psychics, necromancers, satanic worshipers, strange spirits. I'm not making this stuff up. This is scripture that we're going to see more in a little bit. This stuff we can see in the United States. Often we don't even have to see it because the devil already has enough effect in us that he'll use people to claim to be believers. But he has all these powers that are his kingdom who are trying to fulfill his purpose. And what is his purpose? Well, Jesus tells us that first off, Satan is a thief. In John 10:10, the thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Satan does not have a good purpose for your life. But he wants to influence you. Pretending to be an angel of light, he wants you to believe that he has better plans for you. That he has good things for you. His purpose is to destroy what God has made. You are a creation of God, created in the image of God, called to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But Satan wants to destroy that. He comes to steal the joy and the peace that God wants to give you. To destroy that which brings God glory. To destroy your eternal soul. Now understand, if you're a believer or not a believer, you have an eternal soul. Either that soul will be alive with God for all eternity, or will be in a consciousness in hell, suffering and screaming for all eternity. And Satan wants to destroy your life. Peter warns believers in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, you better wake up and quit being foolish. Be sober, be vigilant, pay attention. Why? Because he says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. Satan's ultimate purpose is to kill, to separate man from life. What is life? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that Satan, the devil, has been a murderer from the beginning in John 8:44. He says, that's what he does. That's his purpose. It's to destroy. It's to kill. You with me? He's not a cute guy on cartoon. You don't have power over him. Only the blood of Jesus is going to overpower him. He's not going to come and bring you pleasure as he promises. Oh, no big deal. Go party with your friends this weekend. Getting drunk is no big deal. How many guys has been in counseling in pastors' offices around the country, around the world, because of that one night? Oh, don't worry. Your wife isn't worth fighting for. Your husband, he's a dog anyway. You'd be happier if only you would go be with someone else. You know, what's a one-night stand? It's no big deal. You know what? Marriage ain't nothing. Just move in with him. Yeah, the Bible calls it fornication. Don't worry about it. There's no long-term effect. God says there's long-term effects to all of it, and his eternal effects. Satan's purpose is to destroy you and to pull you away from God's purpose, God's glory, God's peace, and God's joy. Understand, the enemy is after you consistently, and he wants to destroy you. But we also see here that we should avoid darkness. Second point is avoid dark powers. Over and over, God has told man not to be a part of these powers. With me? Oh, well, I would never mess with such things. Now, growing up, and most of you know, I grew up in Brazil and South America, where witchcraft is very heavy. It's called Batuque. It's satanic worship. And you can walk and you'll see a mat in the street with candles and cash and food given to the Satan. In certain yards, there's what looks like a doghouse. But it's painted real pretty, and it's got a door with a padlock on it. It's where they open and give offerings to the devil on a regular basis. Oh, I would never do that. Seances are a regular thing. Oh, well, I would never do that. Flip over to your left, just to the very next book, Galatians chapter 5. See, God doesn't say to just avoid them as much as you can. He says not to have a trace of them. Galatians chapter 5 is where we see the actions and characteristics of an unsaved man. It's works of the flesh that as a believer, after we place our faith in Christ, after we are washed by the blood of the Lamb, that we are justified and we're being sanctified into his righteousness. That we're supposed to put these characteristics completely off, grow out of them. In Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now instead of reading all of them, go down to verse 20 and read the second word. What is that? Witchcraft. Witchcraft. In the middle of all these wicked, vile actions, one of them is witchcraft. But he continues, go down to verse 21, about halfway through. He says, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Does he count this pretty serious? You see, witchcraft is listed in this horrible list. Witchcraft is sorcery. It's magic from strange powers. It's mysterious powers. This is what many will call, oh, it's just entertainment. It's no big deal. And God says, get rid of it. Why do you get rid of it? Because it says, those that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who are still attached to this, those who have not been cleansed from this, God is taking serious it because it shows a lack of a relationship with him. It's not a matter of a believer losing salvation. Scripture says those that have placed their faith in Christ have everlasting life. But it goes to show that if they are in love with the evil powers, they must not know the true and living God. It shows a lack of a relationship with him. Flip over to in the Old Testament. Let's look at a couple of things. Deuteronomy chapter 18. You know, as we look in the Old Testament, this type of stuff was completely, God was very clear, don't touch. We're going to get to Deuteronomy in just a second, Deuteronomy chapter 18, but in Leviticus 19, the book of the law. Leviticus gives us all the laws. And he says this in Leviticus 19:26, you shall not interpret omens or tell fortunes. Pretty clear cut, isn't it? You don't need strange powers. Don't be looking up spirits. Leviticus 19:31 says, do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Do not seek them out and so make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. See, when God gave the Jews that promised land, remember, he promised them beautiful land and great land. And when he took them into it, this law was established already, but he reminded them in Deuteronomy, he said, listen, I'm giving you a beautiful land. Here's some requirements I want for this land. You with me? Here's what I want you to do with this land. I want you to keep it pure. In Deuteronomy 18, go down to verse 19. I'm sorry, verse 9. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. He says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Now pause there for just a second. Understand what he's saying to them. No matter how fun, enticing, awesome, incredible, powerful the things of the world look, he says, you don't be a part of it. You with me? Oh yeah, but you know, this... He says, no! He said, I want you to learn their ways. I don't want you to be a part of it. I don't want you to touch it. What God's doing is protecting them from the evil one. He says, listen, don't take any of their ways. And he's very specific in some things. Look here in verse 10. There shall not be found amongst you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of time, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Then verse 12. For all that do these things are what? Abominations unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God has drove them out of the before thee. Right there, you see that list of things that man is not supposed to allow in that holy land that God has given to them as he speaks to the Jews? He says, first off, he names off child sacrifices. Don't you dare make your kids pass through the fire. As they had that false god of Molech that they'd bring their babies to and place them inside the fire as a sacrifice to that idol. That's satanic. Anyone that thinks it would be okay to rip a baby apart is satanic. But we call it health care. No, the baby ain't no healthier now. It's sick. Don't you let him pass through the fire. He goes on, he says, don't be in my land that I'm giving you, don't you let divination come in. What's that? That's another form of witchcraft. It's using strange powers. He says, observer of the time. That's fortune teller, soothsaying. Demonic forces used to predict the future. What about interprets omens? It tells the future based on events, signs, stars. Some of y'all remember the 90s. Just call 1-900 and they'll tell you your future. I wasn't talking to dirty ones. Those were there too. Anybody remember those? It's only $3 a minute. $3 a minute? Jeez. I guess since they could tell the future, they knew I wasn't calling, eh? See, God is very specific. He says, no witches, no sorcery going on in my place. No introducing of magical effects on people using drugs or potions. Does God take this stuff pretty serious? Do you see the cleansing that he's requiring? The getting rid of? Don't you allow this garbage, not one drop of it, in my holy land? Anybody else catching that? Is it just me? He's not making light of it. He goes on. No enchanters, no one that has a special magical power, no charmer, no one that's going to play spells to control others, no mediums. That's people that try to communicate with the dead. No necromancers, those that call up the dead from wherever they're at. But if they're coming up, I know where they were. Okay, no necromancers. So there's no spiritists. That's the ones that are intimate with demonic spiritual world. It says, why? Because those that do such things, verse 12 says, these things are an abomination to God. What's an abomination? Abomination, you with me? Is a hatred on steroids. God hates these things. He wants nothing to do with them. Those who love God should not partake in them at all. He has demanded this from the beginning. This isn't a New Testament idea. This goes all the way back. He says, I am the Lord thy God. I want you to have no part with my enemy. Still today, he calls us to get rid of every trace of these things. See where I'm going with this? Third point is dark powers in me. It's the last point. Dark powers in me. I hope each one of us will personalize this. Because some things we just don't think about. We allow it into our lives, introduce it to our kids. Ha ha, it's funny, it's cute. But where does it come from? What is the point of it? You may see this list that I'm about to show and think that you're not affected. But in John 8:44, when Jesus called Satan a murderer, he also called him a liar. You with me? He called him a liar. And he's not only a liar, he's a father of lies. The creator of lies. He's good at them. He's a great deceiver. He's sly as a serpent. He gets in our homes just a crumb at a time. He brings it in as entertainments so that we don't see what's happening. Because if he can get us to laugh at it, he can get us to accept it. You with me? Look at the sexual sins that are accepted today. Where did it start? Presented as a laugh. And now today, we pass laws to accept it. We treat it often as pastimes, a game, a puzzle, a social event. Because he wants us to ignore the pastor, ignore the preaching of God's word. Ignore the warnings that are before us because it's no big deal. What I want to do is show you just a list how he slowly, crumb after crumb, comes into our home. Some are going to laugh at some of these, but I want you to watch some of these and see how they get progressively worse because what used to be is no longer effective. You with me? You got to get in one crumb at a time, and then you can get the piece of crumb a little bigger and a little bigger. But many of you guys remember years ago what we used to watch on TV. Casper, the what? Friendly ghost. The friendly strange spirit. Can I reword that? Is that okay to reword? Haha, it's a cute movie, right? You with me? Anybody watch it? You know, I don't even want to admit to that. You just preached against it. Oh, I loved it. One of my favorite things growing up. And I was personally convicted as I'm reading through Scripture and studying years ago to where I banned even this from my house, even the old versions. Why? What is a ghost? It's a strange spirit. One crumb in my home. And then you're familiar with this one because every boy loved this one. He-Man, by the powers of Gray Skull. Think that phrase through. Where does he get his powers? Understand that it's, you read the description, I look, Google it, look him up. It's known as his spiritual powers. The description of the show is that he and his team are sorcery masters of the universe. Just a crumb at a time, yeah? No big deal, it's just a cartoon. Now this one you're really going to laugh at. Smurfs? Remember Smurfs? Little blue dudes? Man, I love, we watched this nonstop as kids. But in this cartoon, we have, what's his name? Yeah, you watched the show too, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Gargamel. Do you know originally they were going to use a demonic name for him originally? A name that means killer, and I can't killer of something, I didn't write it down. But now they went with a little bit lighter name, Gargamel. But what was he? He was a wizard. He was known for his potions, his cauldron. Another crumb, right? Can I get an amen? Don't get mad at me now. And then you know what? Years later, I had a bunch of these pictures. I had to do away with a bunch of them. Years later, introduced for teenagers or young preteens. What's the next one, son? Sabrina. Duh. Yeah. Cute. Oh, she's bubbly. So fun. Another crumb. What is she? A witch. And then what's next? Don't know if you watched this, but now we got three pretty witches. Don't worry, they're sweet, right? But they're witches working by the strange spiritual powers. Powers of dark. More crumbs. More crumbs in your house. Right? What's the next one? Anybody ever watch this one? Oh, it looks so innocent. The dude's a vampire. It's a blood-sucking, demon-possessed angel. Okay? Another crumb. What's next? Now, this one I get slack for. This one has taken over so many households and be seen as just entertainment. This is nothing more than inviting a bunch of demons into your house and laughing about it. I'm not guiltless. That's not one that ever got my attention anyway. But I'm just saying, you do, if you're okay with your family receiving crumbs from the devil, go ahead. Between you and God, I'm here to warn. I'm here to preach. I'm here to give God's word. You're responsible to shepherd your home, dads. You're responsible to decide how much you're going to protect your home. The next one we know. If you've ever got a glimpse of this one, you freak out. The exorcist, making light of it. Oh, some man come over in and pray over. And this girl floats and everything. You see, it started with just a cute little ghost years ago. And I'm sure there was stuff before that. And what are we at now? Actual demon possession. Look at the next one that's been more recent. Lucifer is the name of the show. Do we need to break down what it's about? Here's what it breaks down to. I don't know it. I just looked it up. He's unsatisfied in hell, so he came to earth to be satisfied. It doesn't end with movies. What else do we bring in? What's next? Can we rename that? Satan's board? Okay, there's no joke about this. It's not just a place, just not entertainment. It's a game where spirits answer questions. As a dad, I was real mean. I didn't let my son go on trips to the school because I knew this was going to be there. They played it on the bus, and I said, uh-uh. You ain't going nowhere around it. Nowhere. But then it grows. It gets more and more in your face. Look at the video game. If you can't read it, it says Demon Slayer. Let me tell you something. You ain't slaying no demons. That's why you and I need the blood of Jesus. Because we don't have no power over the devil. God and His Word do. Look at the next one. Dante's Inferno. What does the word inferno mean? Hell. Man walks through hell to save his love. I never watched it. Again, I looked up descriptions. I'm telling you, it just gets worse and worse. This should be good there, son. Thank you. You know, the thing is, it gets worse and worse, and we invite little games. Role-playing games are dead. It's so dangerous because we take away the power of God, and who's in control of climate, and who's in control of running the world, and who's the one? And we lose focus, and we take away credit and power from the one that is due. one crumb at a time, distracting us from God. Some of these seem a little bit picky, but the problem is that these little picky things do serve Satan's purpose. They water down the truth, eliminate fear. Oh, Casper. Once again, strange spirits, they're cute and funny. They remove the seriousness from the powers of darkness. Understand, we see the powers of darkness on here as cartoons and movies that, we walk out of the room an hour and a half later and that was a funny movie. The power of darkness is not funny movies. The power of darkness here have a desire and a purpose to destroy you and your eternity. To kill you and your children. So the more we allow these crumbs in our house, the more we start dropping our guard. God tells us, if you're a believer, in 2 Corinthians 6:14, he says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And he gives a description of why. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? When light comes on, darkness should disappear. We should not play with darkness, sinful areas. As children of God, washed and purchased by His blood, we should have no fellowship with the powers of darkness, no communion with the things of God. Turn over to Acts chapter 19. This is the last passage for tonight. I just want to sum it up in the last point in Acts chapter 19. Here in Acts, God was using Paul in powerful ways. Satanic powers have been expelled. There were some men there. And if you're not been coming, Sunday school has been awesome. We've been walking through the book of Acts, seeing how God's working. Acts, I challenge you to be here in Sunday school. Tonight we got Bible study at 6 o'clock down in the Ed building, just walking through God's Word. But here when we get to Acts chapter 19 and we see that Paul is being used by God in awesome ways, that where people are bringing their loved ones, that hopefully just a shadow of Paul would heal them. But then so arose some men from amongst them that wanted to show they too were powerful. Not in the power of God, but in of themselves. And so they were going to go and cast out demons. It's a funny story. So the demons looks at them and he says, I know Jesus and I know Paul. Who do you think you are? And that demon attacks them, whoops them, strips them naked, and those guys run out. Naked and beat up, trying to use the power of God in of themselves. But people were hearing the preaching of God and being converted at this time. And look how serious they took salvation. Look how serious they took the enemy, the powers of darkness. In Acts chapter 19, go down to verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Now stop there. Understand, when they come to know Christ, they saw the power of Jesus. They repented. They turned completely to Jesus. They confessed their sins, their faults. They confess their sin of playing with witchcraft and sorcery, and they're completely turning to God, and they saw the need. You with me? They saw the need to get rid of books and materials that did not honor God. The books and materials used for sorcery and witchcraft. And you notice what they did with those books and things? Burned them. Burned them. It is neat. In one of my youth groups years ago, I brought in a barrel, had a cover and a little slot where people could drop stuff. And I taught this, not this exact message, but, and the challenge was, we took a month that they could clear themselves of items that did not honor God. We had magazines, bracelets, don't know who brought, some came to me with their items. Books, letters. And we took that barrel outside and burnt the whole thing. Why? Because if I don't need it because I don't honor God, you don't need it either. So I'm not going to give it to someone else. I'm going to burn it. And that's what they did. They burnt it. They did not give themselves a chance to return to it. They also didn't want others, especially their kids, to stumble upon it and be tempted. They wanted all traces of sin gone. They didn't hit eBay with it. They burnt it. Now sometimes following Christ has a cost. It takes sacrifice, doesn't it? Do you notice the burning showed their genuine conversion? Because let me share something with you. It says that they counted it up and it was 50,000 pieces of silver was its value. One piece of silver was one day wage for a common laborer. One piece of silver was one day's wage for a common worker. They worked about 6 days a week. At 6 days a week, this was a wage for 50,000 days of work. They burnt up in fire 166 years of salary because it did not honor God. Is that truly being sold out? Is that truly understanding, hey, this is not honoring God. This is not building my walk with Christ. This is not safe for my kids. I'm getting rid of it. And they burnt it. They sacrificed much because they knew it was important to get rid of. Church, we're not our own. Scripture tells us we are bought with a price. God paid the ultimate price to purchase you. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're in this room, you've never called upon the name of Jesus for salvation. I tell you that right now, if you were to die, you'd be separated from God for all eternity in a place called hell, which will turn into the lake of fire. But by the grace of God, he sent a payment for your sin, and his name is Jesus. And the work is done. It's accomplished at the cross. But he tells you all you need to do is call on him by faith. I'd love to show you in God's work how you can be saved today. Believer, if you've already placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you're covered with holy blood. What we need to do is stop playing with the enemy. We need to put on God's armor and burn those things that don't honor God. Burn those things that distract us from God. Burn those things that praise the power of the enemy. Burn those things that make Satan seem weak and harmless, because his intention is not weak and harmless. His intention is to steal, to kill, and destroy. So you and I, being made holy in the blood of Christ, are being attacked daily by the power of darkness. But he comes at it in an entertainment sort of way. Will you and I protect his kids? Will we protect his vessel and let him be honored in us? Would you stand with me? We were going to sing a song, but we're going to have a time of invitation today. An attitude of prayer. I ask that you, with me, would evaluate what we have in our homes, what we allow in our lives, what we watch with our eyes, what we read, what we allow our kids to play with, to make sure that we're not allowing crumbs of the power of darkness in their lives, not allowing it in our lives, that we are being sold out for Christ, that we are willing to burn it, so that the name of Jesus can be lifted up, so that I can honor him and not let the powers of darkness influence me anymore. And so in this time of invitation, the piano is going to play, and will you humble yourself before the throne of God and pray that he would open your eyes to those areas that maybe you need to turn over to him. Room, you've never placed your faith in Jesus, never called on his name for salvation, you come right to me. I'd love to show you how to be saved. How you can place your faith in Jesus Christ and be covered by his holy blood, being cleansed by all your sins, because your hope lies in his hands. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us, for being right here with us. Lord, as you put your hand upon each one of us in this room, open our eyes, Lord, and let us see those areas that we are being distracted from you. those areas that your joy and your peace is being poisoned by Satan. Those things that we allow in our kids' lives that are watering down or weakening the picture of the evil that wants to destroy them. And let invitation that you do work in our hearts, that we draw closer to you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, the piano plays. Will you step out of where you're at? Will you come forward and just kneel before Him? Maybe you want to pray where you're at. That's fine too. But you need to humble yourself and decide, oh Lord, let Him lift you up. What will you turn over to Him? Now, if you've never had a time in your life that you called upon the name of Jesus for salvation, you should not be standing there. Because in a blink of an eye, you could be answering for all eternity. Or you can call upon the name of Jesus and be saved. I ask that you'd evaluate your life, your eternity, and what you're holding on to. Place them right here at the altar. Maybe you need someone to pray with. I'd love to pray with you.